Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
The book of Joshua, chapter number 10 this evening. The book of Joshua, chapter number 10. Pastor Chappell, thank you so much for this incredible privilege. I'll be honest, it's a little bit surreal walking out here. I remember, and I don't know if we were supposed to do this as college students, but I remember in the middle of the afternoon, sometimes the lights would be off in here, and I'd kind of sneak in, you know, and just spend some time praying at the altar. And we'd hear Dr. Rasmussen, and we'd hear Brother Lester and Brother Houck and so many others, Brother Getch, and just challenge us in those chapels and challenge us in the different classes. And then every Sunday morning, being able to stand up and, you know, be out maybe in the pews and just listen to Pastor Chappell preach and watch as our professors would bring people down the aisle to see him saved. And I'll tell you what, that had a profound, profound impact upon my life. And I just want to say thank you, number one, to Pastor Chappell for that vision to start the college. And then for those of you, especially those of you who were there in those early days, you know, in the early 90s and the mid-90s, who really got behind your pastor. And I'm sure there were sacrifices that were made. I'm sure there were some inconveniences as different students came along. And yet the truth is, I promise you, your sacrifice is making dividends, not just in Lancaster, but up and down the West Coast, and now literally all across the world. And I speak, I think, for all the graduates when I just say thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you so much just for the privilege that we had for quite a few years to call Lancaster Baptist Church our home. And thank you for just helping us through those years. And I appreciate it. And Pastor Chappell, thank you once again for this wonderful privilege tonight. I am glad to hear that I am preaching before Dr. Gibbs. If he's here next week, that may be a little anticlimactic. However, I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity. I would like to ask you, if you're at all physically able, to stand out of respect for God's Word, the book of Joshua, chapter number 10, probably one of the most inspirational miracles we find in the Old Testament occurs in this passage. We'll read about 7 or 8 verses, starting in verse number 8. We'll make our way down to verse number 14. You follow along as I read where the Word of God says in Joshua chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua, therefore, came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them at Eschah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them at Eschah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Halalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Is not this written in the book of Yasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. I want you to notice that last phrase, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Of a man. I want to preach a message simply entitled, Son, Stand Still. Amen. Son, stand still. Shall we pray? Dear gracious and heavenly Father, I feel overwhelmed standing behind this sacred desk. It wasn't so many weeks ago I sat and listened through the spiritual leadership conference as men of God stood up here and mightily proclaimed the word of God. My heart was touched. It was challenged. I believe changed through that time. And Lord, it's a humbling thing to stand here. And yet I pray, Lord, that you would use our short time around the word of God to challenge us, to help us, and yes, even to encourage us. Lord, I pray that you would do through me what I am entirely incapable of doing on my own, and that is to speak to the hearts of your people. Bless in a way tonight that only you can, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In our passage, Joshua is desiring to move forward. We see here he is chasing the kings of the Amorites, and he's battling, and he's chasing, and he's battling, and he's chasing. The problem, however, though, is at this time the sun is beginning to go down. And in this day, in this age, it was a very difficult thing to chase the armies at nightfall. And so in this passage, we see Joshua literally begins to do the unthinkable. He asks the God of the universe to pause the sun. I don't know about you, but I think about that statement and I think, what in the world? How did Joshua have such audacity, if we can use that term, to ask God to do such a miracle? And yet as you study the life of Joshua, there may be no other person who lived as a human being, other than maybe the person of Jesus Christ, who saw such tremendous miracles, especially in the Old Testament. We think of the fact that Joshua would have seen there the plagues as they took place in Egypt. Joshua would have seen as the Red Sea was parted. Joshua would have seen as the walls of Jericho came down, and as the Jordan River there was parted and the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. And you can only imagine, after seeing miracle after miracle, miracle after miracle, that Joshua would have the audacity to say, you know what? If God can bring down the walls of Jericho, and if God can part the Red Sea, and if God can even do miracles in Egypt, then just maybe he can make the sun stand still. I think about the history of the Lancaster Baptist Church, and from sometimes, obviously, just reading about it, sometimes watching a video, I would say this is a place that has seen miracle after miracle, miracle after miracle. And yet, I hope that your heart would not be, well, God has done so much already, we can stop now, we can coast now, but rather having the heart and the spirit of Joshua to say, my, if God can build a North Auditorium, and God can build an auditorium here, and if God can put up a college, then maybe he can do more. Amen. I tell you what, I was encouraged when I saw the capacity video online. Man, I'll tell you what, that challenged me. Man, I was inspired. And I don't have much there in Fresno, but I'll tell you what, it encouraged my heart to do something. Amen. And what a blessing that was. I guess the question is here today, there will be moments when the sun must stand still if God's people are to move forward. We see Joshua was moving forward, but in order for him to continue moving forward, there would have to be a moment where the sun stood still. And I want to say to every marriage and to every family and to the church congregation at large, there will come a moment in order for God's people to continue moving forward that the sun must stand still again. That is to say, in order for you as a couple to say, you know, we're going to keep moving forward in our marriage, it may just take a miracle. And in order for you to maybe bring that teenager who's maybe getting a little away from the Lord, in order to see your family move forward for God, it just might take a miracle. But I hope tonight that something about this passage would encourage our hearts to say, you know what? If God can do that, then just maybe he can make the sun stand still. I realize for some of you today, man, seeing that marriage stay together may seem like an impossibility. And maybe for some today, seeing that wayward teenager come back to the Lord may seem like an impossibility. And maybe to some, My, seeing walls knocked out and to see buildings going up may seem like an impossibility, but I want to remind you today, if God's people are to continue moving forward, it's going to take some folks to say, you know what, the sun's got to stand still. So the question I want to ask you is, in that moment, will you have sun stand still faith? This evening, I want you to see three powerful truths from this passage that I hope will enable us to develop this sun stand still type of faith in our lives. Notice verse number 8 here in chapter number 10. The Bible says in verse 8, now get this, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand." We see here in this passage that God makes a promise to Joshua, which takes us to our very first thought here today, and that's simply this: Joshua accessed a holy promise. You say, how do we get the faith and how do we develop the faith to see sun stand still type of moments take place in our lives? And how do we come to a moment in our lives where we stand up and say, God, we need a miracle. And if I'm going to keep going forward, and if my marriage is going to keep going forward, and if my family is going to keep going forward, then God, I need to see a miracle. How does that get conjured up? I want to say this. It doesn't start with maybe a personal agenda. It doesn't start with selfish ambition. If you need to see that type of miracle take place, I want to remind you today, it's going to start at the promises of God. See, so many people try to claim things, you know, and there's this idea that you can just kind of name it and claim it. And yet we see in our passage to here that Joshua wasn't responding out of selfish ambition. He wasn't praying this prayer because of some personal agenda that he had. He prayed the sun stand still prayer because God had promised it to him. It started with the word of God. It started with the promise of God. And for those of you who need a sun stand still miracle in your life tonight, and you need God to do something in your marriage and in your family and in the life of this church, understand it cannot begin in a spirit of selfish gratification. It must start with the promise of the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 verse 20 is so encouraging when it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen." Oh, my friend, you can trust the promises of God. Many of you would be familiar with a man by the name of George Mueller. He was a man who many would consider a prayer warrior. It was March of 1839, and he was helping these orphanages get started all over England. And in different places, he would not ask for money. He would not ask for a handout. In fact, every time he had a need, as many of you are familiar with the story, he'd drop to his knees and he'd ask his Heavenly Father to provide those needs. On one occasion, he was in desperate need of financial support. The food was not being provided like it once was. The orphans needed nourishment. Staff was not getting paid. They were falling behind on bills. And we see it as we read in the autobiography of George Mueller. He came to a point and he would kneel there by a window where the sun would come in. And on a particular morning, he begged God to provide the needs that those children had. Later that day, there was a knock at the door, and a lady standing there. And the moment he opened the door, George Mueller kind of had a brimmer of hope, because he saw on this lady, who was immaculately dressed, large diamond necklace and some diamond rings. She had a lot of jewelry that she was wearing, and he kind of thought to himself, this is the answer to my prayer. He took her on a tour of the different aspects of the orphanage, and after a few minutes, eventually, however, she walked out the door. She was gone. George Mueller's heart kind of sank just for a moment, and yet he realized that his God would provide, and he didn't necessarily need to use a rich lady from some other part of town in order to do that. God would provide. However, it wasn't long later until the knock came back at the door. The lady who had once had that necklace around her neck now had it in her hands. And as he opened that door, that lady reached out and said, "I just felt compelled of God to give you this jewelry." Literally, George Mueller said in his autobiography, he said, "My heart leapt." He said, "Before I took those diamonds to sell them so we could pay the bills and take care of some of the things that were taken," he said, "I took the largest of those diamonds." He said, "I ran up to where my room was, and that one window where the sun shone into my room where he would pray to the Lord." He said, "I took that diamond and I began to sketch letters into that window." And he sketched the words, "Jehovah Jireh. God will provide." He said, "Every morning I'd wake up, and as the sun was coming up over the horizon, he would see glimmering through that window pane the words, Jehovah Jireh, as if to say, God will provide." And I want to remind you today, it doesn't matter if the need maybe is physical or it's a need for a spiritual. Our God desires to provide. But that prayer needs to not come from a heart of selfish ambition. It can't come from a heart of a personal agenda, but rather that it would come from a place of going to the promises of God. We see in verse number 8, the promise was heard. The promise was heard. And I know this is somewhat implied, but yet the truth is, because of the fact that Joshua followed through with what God told him, we understand that he was listening. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I simply want to say this. If you want to get to a place where you can pray the promises of God, then it involves listening to his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter number 10, verse 17. Oh, you cannot heed what you do not hear. That's why it's so important to be involved in 3 to Thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and responding to the preaching of God's word when he stirs your heart to do so. We see the promise was heard, but I see in verse number 9 that the promise was hard. Notice verse 9. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly. Now get this. And went up from Gilgal. Now notice the next two words. All night. All night. Yes, he was responding to the promises of God. He was responding to the word of God, but it didn't necessarily mean his life was easier because of it. You see, this promise that had been given, just because God does a miracle doesn't automatically mean life is going to be perfect. In fact, we see in this passage here, as he was responding to the word of God, it actually made his life a little bit more difficult. Right. He was up all night. In fact, as you read through the story, as we'll notice in a moment, he stayed up all night chasing them. Then he battled all day. It was getting toward the end of the night, and all of a sudden he realized that he had to see that sun stand still. And so he kept battling. And when the sun froze, he just kept battling. And you can imagine how weary and how tired and how laborious this must have been. And yet it didn't keep him from stopping. He just kept on going. Oh, the promise was hard. Leonard Ravenhill used to say regarding bearing your cross, he said, there was one thing you knew when you saw a man carrying his cross out of a city. You knew he wasn't coming back. And so often as Christians, we'll take up that cross that we know we should bear, and we'll take up the cross that's been delivered to us, but we'll take it a few steps, and then all of a sudden we put it down and we'll run back to our sin, and we'll carry our cross for a moment, then we'll put it down and run back to an addiction. And Leonard Ravenhill said, there was one thing you knew when you saw a man carrying his cross out of a city, you knew he wasn't coming back. You see, it wasn't that it was easy, but Joshua was doing what was right. You see, Joshua accessed a holy promise. How do we get to that place where we experience some sun stand still type of miracles? How do we get to the place where we have such audacity to ask God for the impossible? I'm telling you what, it does not start with personal agendas or some private gratification that you may have. My friend, if you're going to see miracles happen, it must start from a place of the promises of God. Oh, we notice number one, Joshua accessed a holy promise. But I want you to see secondly and hear verse number 9 and verse number 10. Joshua accomplished the humanly possible. And what I mean by that is simply this. Joshua did not say, well, since God is God and he can do everything, then I don't have to do anything. But rather, we're going to see quite the opposite. Yes, he was relying on the power and strength of God. However, Joshua did accomplish that which was humanly possible. One theologian said it this way: God seems to do nothing of himself which he can possibly delegate to his creatures. Oftentimes, he commands us to do slowly and blunderingly what he could do perfectly and in the twinkling of an eye. James chapter number 2, verse 20 says it this way: faith without works is dead. And so we see here in this particular passage, we see Joshua accomplished the humanly possible. You've heard the story before, perhaps, about the little prairie city there in the Midwest. And of course, much of their income was delivered to them through farming and growing crops. However, on one particular year, the rains had not come. In fact, they were in the midst of an incredible drought. So they did what probably wouldn't happen in many of our California cities. The city council got together and decided to have a citywide prayer meeting. They were going to pray, I'm sure in Jesus' name, for rain. They got together, and as they huddled together, the sun was beating down, and they were there, and it was hot outside. And yet in the middle of this large crowd was a little red umbrella sticking right up through the middle. And one of the guys leaned over to a little boy with an umbrella and say, "Don't you realize how hot it is out here? There's not a cloud in the sky. How come you brought an umbrella to this thing?" And the little boy said, "Well, I thought we were praying for rain. I just wanted to come prepared."
Amen.
And I want to remind you today, when we are promising, we are expecting God to work, oh, that we would come with a heart of preparation, that we would come with a heart of anticipation, that we would come with a heart of expectation. Because my friend, faith without preparation, anticipation, and expectation is really no faith at all. It's just us kind of going through the motions of some religious type of tradition. God desires something deeper. And so we see here in this passage, Joshua did accomplish that which was humanly possible. And when we want to see moments of the sun standing still, whether it's in the life of a teenager, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our church, can I say this? It's probably going to involve you doing something.
Right.
Here's an, I thought God was strong. I thought God was powerful. I thought God could do it. And yet we see God often comes along where our strength fails and takes from there. Oh, it was the great missionary statesman David Livingstone who said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God." My friend, miracles don't happen and they don't take place in the vacuum of spiritual passivity. We need people who are proactive, doing what God has commanded them to do. You see here in this passage in verse number 9, we see his actions were swift. He didn't wait. He didn't just kind of say, "Well, I'll get around to it." No, when God said something, Joshua followed through. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. It says here in chapter number 10 and verse number 9, we see where the Bible says, "And Joshua therefore came unto them." Now notice the next word, "suddenly." His actions were swift. And may I say this, when God speaks, don't push it off.
Amen.
Don't wait till some other time to kind of get around to it. When God speaks, oh, that we would come to an altar. When God speaks, that we would say, "Yes, here am I, God, whatever you desire." And like Joshua, be swift in our actions for the Lord. Sometimes I wonder if there are not Christians who miss great miracles because instead of just taking and being proactive in a situation, just decide they're going to be patient when God doesn't ask for that. We see here that his actions were swift. I loved what David said to Ahimelech in 1 Samuel, where he says, "The king's business requires haste." Can I say this? God's business requires that we would just follow as soon as he prompts.
Amen.
Let's not push these things off. Not only were his actions swift, but we see here that his actions were steadfast. Notice verse number 10. "And the Lord discomfited them before Israel." And the Bible says in verse number 10, he says, "And he slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon." Now notice this. "And chased them along the way
and chased them along the way. Can I say this? As Joshua was battling here, as he was going forward against the Amorites, they were running away. And yet he didn't quit because they were fleeing. He was steadfast at this thing. He just kept chasing and battling. He kept chasing and battling. He kept chasing and battling. And the lesson I think that's there for us today is simply this. You know what? That we would be steadfast as we battle. Amen. I realize if you're a mother in here today, there's a lot of battling that's going on. And just trying to raise those kids. If you're a dad and you're at the workplace, whatever the case may be for you, the truth is this. There's going to have to be some spiritual gumption deep down inside that says, I'm just going to be steadfast. I'm just going to keep chasing and battling. And sometimes I get tired and sometimes I get weary and sometimes I feel like I can't make it. But I'm just going to keep moving forward. You say, why? Let me ask you this. Do you want to see a sun stand still moment? You see, I believe one of the reasons that Joshua saw his son stand still moment is because he was swift in responding to the promises of God. He was steadfast. He didn't quit. And may I say this, if you're here today and maybe you've been praying for a loved one for a year or 2 years or 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or maybe even 50 years, can I encourage you with this? Don't stop praying. Amen. Just be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, we see his actions were steadfast. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 verse 13 tells us, but ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. You see, Joshua accessed a holy promise. How did he see a sun stand still moment? He accessed a holy promise. It started with the word of God. Joshua then accomplished the humanly possible. He did his part so God could do his. God's done some amazing things here at Lancaster Baptist Church, but I know from firsthand experience it's because there are some men of God and some women of God who did their part. And when an offering plate was passed, they did their part. And when there was a need with children, they did their part. And when there was a need with someone who needed to be saved, they did their part. And it's amazing how God does amazing miracles when we do our part. Amen. Joshua accessed a holy promise. Joshua accomplished the humanly possible. And then I love this part. Joshua asked for heavenly power. Joshua asked for heavenly power. Notice verse number 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still. I don't know about you. I would have loved to have been there that day. Amen. To see that type of miracle. To see God work in that type of way. Oh, I want to remind you today. God was already doing some miraculous things in Joshua's midst. He was not asking for God to do something that was totally inconsistent with what he had seen God do before. And I just want to remind you, sometimes if we're not careful, when we are a part of a miracle, and when we are in the middle of a miracle, if we are not careful, sometimes we won't see it. And it would grieve my heart to think that someone maybe, and I don't think this is the case, but it would grieve my heart to think that someone would be a part of a, and I say this in an appropriate way, a part of the great Lancaster Baptist Church and begin to take for granted what God's doing in this place. You are a part of a sun stand still miracle. And don't ever forget it. And I know you don't. But if we're not careful, the devil can kind of get it on our shoulder and say, man, wouldn't it be nice to move out east? You know, wouldn't it be nice where there was maybe a tree or two more or whatever the case might be? And I want to remind us today, oh, that we would be the type of people that would say, you know what? What God has called me to do, I'm going to do it because I'm part of a miracle. God's doing something great. David Brainerd was a missionary to the Native American Indians in the early 1700s. In fact, as many of you may know, he died at the young age of 29 years old. While at Yale, he began suffering from what we now know as tuberculosis. And it was often, it would get so bad, he would literally begin to spit up blood while he was in classes. But he didn't let that detour him from what God had called him to do. Of course, he died at the age of 29, and after he died, they found an entry in his journal, and this is what it said. Lord, let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. Lord, let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. I'll tell you what, when I read that, something in it just, it resonated with me. I realize we're not much, but there's a part of me that wants to see God do something that's utterly disproportionate to who I am or who our church is, and I know that's the heartbeat here. I say, God, we've seen you do some great things. But what about some more? Here's what I love about this passage. In verses number 11, we see here that Joshua sees the improbable. You say, what are you talking about? He sees the improbable. Notice chapter number 10 and verse number 11. The Bible says at the end of that verse, there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. You say, what was the improbable that Joshua saw? Get this for a moment. Hailstones start falling in the Middle East. And in the process, not killing a single Israelite, but having to knock off a bunch of the enemy. Don't tell me that's highly improbable. I'm told that in Kansas, we saw our biggest hailstorm in the 1970s. They say they were about 18 inches wide, 2 pounds. And yet I often think here on this day of battle, as they begin to see the hailstones fall, and not just injuring the enemy, but literally killing them, Joshua had to be thinking in the back of his head, God's doing something.
Amen.
I don't know all that's going on here, but I got to believe that maybe God's a part of this whole thing. And if God started this thing and he's showing us improbable thing after improbable thing after improbable thing, then just maybe the sun could stand still. And he has the audacity to ask for such a miracle. You see, for Joshua, he had seen the improbable and it inspired him to ask the impossible. He had seen things that were terribly unlikely, and I just want to bring back the illustration to Lancaster, California. You've seen improbable thing after improbable thing. Yes, I would even say miracle after miracle. But oh, that we would have the spirit of Joshua to say, yes, though we've seen it in the past, by God's grace, we can see more in the future. Oh, that the improbable would inspire us to ask for the impossible. Can I ask you a question? We're talking about prayer. We're talking about faith. If you stopped praying today, just hypothetically, if you stopped praying today, would anything in your world change? One pastor said it this way. If your prayers are not intimidating to you, then they just might be insulting to God. And I hope there would be something in the heart of each and every one of us that would pray the impossible prayer.
Amen.
That we would believe God could do something through this place. Yes, we've seen miracle after miracle, improbability after improbability. But let that not take us to a place where we get comfortable. But rather, would it inspire us to ask for more again? I'll tell you what, the thought of these walls coming down, and I don't know what it is, another 1,000, 2,000 seats added. I'll tell you what, that encourages my heart. Just watching it from afar. Oh, that there would be some people that would be willing to pray some sun stand still type of prayers. I would hope that there wouldn't be a person in here who would limit God in what they ask for. I believe there are some people here tonight and you desperately need a sun stand still miracle in your life right now. You need it tonight. You need God to work in an impossible, miraculous way. And I hope that we would be the type of people who would access a holy promise, go to the Word of God and say, God,
amen.
Please. This is not personal agenda. This is not selfish ambition. You said it. I believe it. I'll do my part. And yes, even if it makes more work for me, I'll do it. You see, when Joshua prayed that the sun stand still, all that implied was he was going to have to keep battling. Yeah. He saw a miracle and God did a great work, but it didn't make his life easier. He was willing to do his part, and then he asked for more heavenly power. Let's not limit what God can do through us. You know what? I'll be honest. I've seen the master plan. I cannot wait for the day when I drive up Avenue J, making my way to a leadership conference to sit and listen to speakers, and maybe one day, who knows when, but to see maybe in the middle of this property a 10,000 seat auditorium. Amen. You say, that's impossible. Let me remind you, there was a day that many would have said that building across the way was impossible. And there would have been others who would have said what we're sitting in today was impossible. But my friend, may we never get to a place where we stop asking for the miraculous. And say, God, give us another sun stand still miracle here again. Amen. Do you need it in your life? Do you need one in your heart? Does church need one? Let's not limit God this evening. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know it's my heartbeat to pray. It's a heartbeat to move forward. And yet sometimes in life, we cannot move forward like we would like unless you come and do the miraculous. Joshua desired to move forward, but he could not unless he saw a sun stand still miracle take place. And there may be some people here today and they desire to move forward and they want to continue battling and they want to continue fighting and they want to see a victory, but that is going to involve a miracle. So I pray, Lord, that they would take the truths from the life of Joshua. Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to see sun stand miracles in our lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.